The Blast from Our Past Network.
Hey, paisanos! It's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show!
With the Mario Brothers and plumbing's our game, we're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers. So hang on to your seat. Get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers to the brim.
Talking Back.
Hey everybody, welcome to Talking Back. We are back again with a classic 80s cartoon episode this week. And we're going to cover the first episode of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. I'm super excited. Dean, pop out of your warp pipe. Get in here.
I'm Super Dino.
Yeah, you're super.
And you're super Timo.
Dino. You had a week and you came up with that?
Yeah.
Hey,
that's good stuff.
We're the Talking Back Brothers, and podcasting's our game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If your ears are in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others. You'll get hooked on the brothers. Hey, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Huh. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yuki-yuki. Wiki-wiki.
I love it. Yeah. See, that's why I left it for you to do.
Yeah. See what happened.
Do you think, Tim? Do you think anyone out there listening right now is hooked on the brothers, but were the brothers they're hooked on?
No. Do you think there's anybody out there listening? Let's just start with that.
Not anymore.
Yeah, no. So here's the thing that works, Dean, is don't plan it in advance.
Oh,
just
yeah,
let it
exactly.
Roll. Let the rap roll off your tongue.
Right. You didn't plan any of that.
No, I just
that
thought
was
like
freestyle.
Like 10 seconds before recording, I'm like, hey, what if I did this? What if I did this? Let me try that out. Anyways, yeah, I'm excited for this one because this was one that I watched a lot as a kid. I don't know if you did. I'm guessing no.
I don't think so. So I definitely remember it, and I definitely watched like The Legend of Zelda a lot,
yeah,
which was after this. And so I don't know if I just tuned in for that or if I just didn't pay much attention to these ones, because I don't have a lot of like firm memories of this show, but I do remember watching it. So yeah, I don't think it is how much I watched it. I don't think I watched it a lot.
Yeah, this would have been something I recorded and probably had on replay, especially the Legend of Zelda episodes. Those
were
my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this was released September 4th, 1989. It ran for one season and was 52 episodes in length.
Okay.
Now, at the time, that rap intro to the show seemed really cringy. Even to me, an 11-year-old,
okay,
I was like, this is not cool. But I will give it credit because it's survived the decades and has become a long-lasting piece of nostalgia for me. I love hearing that rap. It just takes me back to this show, and I'm going to applaud that rap, the Mario rap.
Hell yeah, man. I would definitely applaud that rap. When that started up, that's what like reminded me that I've definitely watched it before, because I remembered the rap. The rap's what stuck with me over the years, and I don't know how old I would have been when I watched it. Younger, probably, than 11, I'm thinking. Like, I think I was definitely, like 5 or 6 when I watched it, and I loved that rap. I thought it was awesome.
So, this project originated as the Super Mario Brothers Power Hour, and was going to be a 1-hour-long animation block that would feature A series based on a number of different Nintendo properties. Concept art was produced for Super Mario Brothers, for The Legend of Zelda, for Metroid, Castlevania, Double Dragon, and California Games.
Wow.
So that would have been pretty cool. Unfortunately, that wouldn't come to fruition, and only Mario and Zelda would become cartoons. Now, okay. Double Dragon does become a cartoon years later, but it was a completely separate production from this.
Okay. Did the Mario Brothers, the live-action ones, did they still talk when it was Legend of Zelda?
So,
or no?
I was trying to remember this, and what I do know is at least one of the segments, the live-action or the cartoon, was like Legend of Zelda took the place of it. I just can't remember if it was the live-action or the cartoon.
Right, okay, I see.
I don't know which one of those segments was removed. I don't know if it changed from week to week. I absolutely can't remember that, but it would have been one of the two and then the Zelda. So, maybe 10, 11 minutes for each segment.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was produced by Saban Productions and Dick Enterprises. Dick was one of the mega powers in cartooning. They did Inspector Gadget, The Real Ghostbusters, Care Bears, Mask, StarCom, Cops, G.I. Joe, Captain Planet, Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, The Chipmunks, Captain N, holy shit, cartoons I've just loved to death, and so much more.
Yeah, they're the real deal, for sure.
Now, the show starred Lou Albano and Danny Wells, and I had known Captain Lou Albano from the WWF. He was a wrestler before my time, and during my time, he was a manager, and I remember him managing Don the Rock Morocco and Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Okay, so that's the guy who plays Mario?
Yeah, he was a professional wrestler.
Oh, it's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with Danny Wells, the Luigi character, but apparently he did like the rounds on mainstream television and was on all sorts of different shows that you'd recognize. So...
okay, cool.
I always loved the casting for these two characters. I thought they really nailed it, and I loved the chemistry that the two had together.
Yeah, I mean, it always sticks out in my head whenever I think of, like, live-action Mario Luigi, what that could look like. I'm always thinking of this. You know, it's one of those things that you watch it young, so that's what you think of. So for me, too, yeah, it seems like perfect casting because that's what I think of.
Yeah. So along with Mario and Luigi, you have Toad in the show, voiced by Canadian legend John Stocker. He also voices Koopa Trooper, Beezo, Mouser, and Flurry. And John has voice acted in more than 150 cartoons. And the one that I was most familiar with was he voices Longarm in the show Cops.
Okay.
I don't know if you have you seen Cops before?
A little bit. I think I've seen it before, yeah.
Yeah, so Longarm is like one of the main characters.
Yeah.
A Jeannie Elias plays Princess Peach, and she's another Canadian legend. She has close to 200 voice credits on TV and video games.
Nice.
And she was on an episode of Seinfeld as Myra. I don't know who that is.
Me neither.
If Corey and all you're listening, tell us who Myra is from Seinfeld.
Yes.
Also, check out Corey's podcast, Cartwright, a Seinfeld podcast. That's how I know that he'll know who Myra is.
Yeah, go over there and you'll learn about who Myra is.
Yeah, do that. Go through all the episodes until you hit the one with Myra.
Until you find it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then report back. Now, Harvey Atkin voices King Koopa, another Canadian legend.
Hey.
Yeah. He acted in Meatballs, Speed Zone. He was on The Littlest Hobo. I could say the words because I know them. There's a voice keeps on calling me down the road, back where I'll always be every... every stop I make, I make a new friend. I'll stop there. I'll save everybody from the horrid heredity.
That was
great song, though.
I was feeling it.
Should have been a number one in the charts. Harvey also voiced the RoboCop, the animated series. He was in there.
Okay.
He was also in X-Men and nice. Goosebumps, among others.
Nice. Okay.
Now, the format of this show is that you have your live action segment at the beginning, and then you get a bit of the live action segment again at the end.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a comedy sketch involving Mario and Luigi, and there's always a special guest. So guests would include Cher, Magic Johnson, Cyndi Lauper, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Sergeant Slaughter, Vanna White, Ernie Hudson, Robin Fab from Milli Vanilli, and a whole long list of others.
Those are giant guests.
What are they doing on this show?
Why are they there?
What are they doing with Mario and Luigi, who are
frequently
picking pasta off of them because they ate too much and it's on their body? Magic Johnson is on this show. What?
I imagine most of the sketches go as they did in this one, where the brothers are just like fucking up and just making life miserable for the guest. So I'm just imagining that happening to Magic Johnson.
I think it was a real variety of stuff, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah. But the opening sketch in this episode is called Neatness Counts. And the special guest on this episode, the very first episode, is Nicole Eggert. Now, she was coming off a reoccurring role on Who's the Boss? And in 1989, is in the middle of her run on Charles in Charge. She was one of, if not the hottest young actresses at this time, both like physical appearance and how like popular she was.
And stardom.
Yeah. 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 I would say maybe Alyssa Milano was the only one who might have been a bit more popular than her. But for me, I'll throw my hat in any day for Nicole Eggert.
Cool.
So what is she doing on this show?
What is she doing? I didn't know who she was. I had to look it up, and I did see that she was on Baywatch.
Yes, that's correct, too. I forgot all about that. Yeah. That's when she blossoms into a woman on Baywatch.
All right. That's what that show's about.
Oh, man, Baywatch. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
What a weird show. Weird show. Now, Dean, what did you think about the sketch Neatness Counts? And we can just talk about like the whole sketch, even though it's broken up into two segments.
Okay.
What did you think about this?
I mean, I really like
Nicole
Eggert.
Oh, sorry.
Nicole Eggert, didn't know who it was. Really like the brothers. And
were you hooked on the brothers?
Just like hooked on the brothers because
I'll let you talk.
It was my favorite part of the episode because it's what I remembered. Like I didn't really remember the cartoon, but I remembered these two idiots.
They're so lovable.
It's just this weird type of show that's like really for kid. Like this is a lot of kids shows around this time just have like these weird little sketch things going on and have guests on the show and stuff. And so I was really enjoying it. And especially like so they're really messing up in this one. Like they get her Nicole all wet, like because they are trying to fix a sink and it just like sprays her. And then they take her to dry off by the furnace and the furnace like chucks all this smoke on her. Then she like steps on a cake for some reason. She sits on a piece of pizza. She then moves over to the garbage chute and is under the garbage chute and all the garbage drops on her.
It's so good.
And it's so good. But the best part, like honestly for me, the best part, she's like, this is fine, guys, because I'm actually going to a sloppy party after this.
So
dumb. You're supposed to be dirty. What's a sloppy party?
So dumb.
Have you ever been to a sloppy party, Tim?
No, but it saved her a trip to the costume store, Dean. So it's a happy ending.
It's a happy ending. I wonder how smelly that sloppy party is.
Oh, man.
Where everyone's supposed to come disgusting.
I loved this segment so much. I just thought it was so funny. There were so many interesting things going on. Like, there was a laugh track that kind of caught me off guard. But I don't think they used it, like, throughout. I think they just used it, like, one or two times. But it had a bit of a weird feel to it. Because you mix that in with them using actual Mario sound effects from the game. Like, when something goes wrong, it'll be like the jump sound or something like that. It's just like, it's so strange to hear that, but it really did work. The guests always show up when they open the medicine cabinet and there's no back to it. It's just where the guest is. So they'll always go to the medicine cabinet and they open it up and then you get to see who the guest is. And today it was Nicole Eggert. I don't understand, like, why is the guest in the medicine cabinet? But
it was, like, so ridiculous.
That's what they decided to go with.
And then Tim, she says, like, she's got their toothpaste and she's like, I just wanted to check your toothpaste to see if it expired because that's important. And I thought she was going to come in and talk about how, like, it's important to check your toothpaste expiry because no one does it. And that's like a public service announcement.
Right.
But no, she just left it at that. Just left it at, I'm here to check your toothpaste expiry date.
Yeah, that was enough. Enough Wild. Of a message just to check it.
It was good. Yeah. You know what I did? I went and checked my toothpaste expiry date right after.
Nice. Now, I find, like, the acting of Mario and Luigi, it's pretty good because they are doing some, like, fun physical acting that kind of, like, is engaging for kids to watch, just the way they're moving and doing stuff. Here's what I really, really liked about this segment is that you've got Nicole Eggert, pretty big star, very attractive person, and she's willing to come on and completely embarrass herself. I definitely remember, like, back in the day, it was always a really big thing if on one of these, let's just say, I'm going to call it a sitcom for, you know, just because that's where some of this other stuff would happen was on the sitcoms. But the odd time someone would get sprayed with water and it was a really big deal. Because you kind of know it sort of, like, broke the barrier of show and reality. Because you know that the actor or actress had to go through that. And sometimes you could see them crack when it happened because it's so silly and so unexpected that it just kind of took me back to remembering when people would get splashed with water on a show. Or, you know, you can't do that on television where people would get slimed, or other shows where people would get slimed. You know, there's these, like, kids game shows where they'd get slimed and stuff like that. But I really appreciated that she would put herself in the position to have water sprayed on her and soot blown in her face and cake. They rub cake all over her body at the end. And she doesn't break character at all, man. She is just like,
no,
she's acting her ass off. And I was so impressed with it. She totally stole the show for me. I just thought it was a hilarious sketch.
Yeah, definitely. It always makes you think that. You're like, well, that person is actually, like, having garbage dumped on them right now. And often they do, like, in sitcoms or something, the characters do break. They do a little laugh or something as they're wiping it off or whatever. They're not going to take that again because they're not going to get dumped on by that thing again. They just keep the take where they kind of break. But she did not break at all. She stuck right in it for this, like, dumb sketch cartoon thing, just right in there. Gave it 100%.
Yep. Hats off to Nicole.
Yeah.
So getting into the animated portion, there's a live action intro with Mario and Luigi, like, bouncing around and dancing at the very beginning of the show. But then when you get to the animated section, they also have an animated intro for the show, which I thought was interesting. And this was probably because one of those segments wouldn't be there when The Legend of Zelda was involved in the episode.
Right.
So they probably both had to have intros because one of those would come first.
I see. Yeah.
But it's just fun nonetheless to kind of, like, for each one to have an intro. I really liked the animated show's intro. It was a lot of fun. Had some cool stuff in it.
Yep.
I think the music, the sound effects, the voice acting in the episode are all really, really good. I was actually very impressed with the quality.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking when I was watching it. I was like, well, they have this great sound, this great music to play with, and they're sticking with it. You know, this sounds like you're playing the game, and that's just such a bonus, such a plus. The voice acting was also, really good.
Yeah, the animation and art, I would say, it was fine. It's like nothing special. The characters are really large on screen, which I think allows you to get away with less intricate art because there's less on-screen elements to draw. So you just have your characters, which are really big, and there's a small amount of space for background, so you're not doing anything too detailed there. But it was fine. No problems there. This animated episode was titled The Bird. And I think that was a play on Tattoo's catchphrase, deplane, deplane, from Fantasy Island, which I think is a bit ahead of your time. But do you know of that? That quote?
Yeah, I do know.
I think that's what this was supposed to be. The bird. Okay. Kind of like the same inflection.
That makes sense. Not Apocalypse Now, the horror.
No. Maybe that too. Yeah.
I think it makes more sense to be deplane.
Now, right off the bat, in this episode, they hit you with the Super Mario Brothers 2 music.
Yeah, awesome.
Holy shit, dude. Come on. Like, you want to hook me? That'll do it. I love that music.
I didn't think there'd be so many elements from the second game. Like, I was really impressed that they were also doing that. You know, it was stuff from, they were giving you stuff from the first game, but they were giving you stuff from the second as well. Not just with the music, but how it looks, stuff they're using. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And that's on purpose. They're covering Super Mario 1 and 2 in this show. And later there would be a standalone Super Mario Brothers 3 show.
Cool.
But I agree with you. I loved how many Super Mario 2 elements were in here. Probably one of the reasons why I like this show so much. But Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Toad are walking through an ice level when Birdo swoops in and snatches up Toad and takes him to the top of a mountain. Now, Birdo, weird ass character. Weird.
Maybe my favorite character in this episode.
It's like this old, like, grandma character, sort of.
Excellent. Yeah.
Can't see very well. Thinks Toad is her missing baby Birdo. And is just, like, frequently trying to kiss Toad. Like, you're so adorable, my little sweetie.
Yeah.
And just wants to kiss him. But she's frothing at the nozzle the whole episode. Yeah. Like, it's foaming. Yeah. And it's really weird, dude. I'm, like, severely uncomfortable with this character.
I love when this character picks up, like, a milk carton or something that has her missing child on it. And she looks at the picture on the milk carton and looks at Toad and is just like, oh, this is a really bad picture of you. Doesn't think that that's somebody different. Thinks that it's just a really bad picture of Toad.
When they show us the milk carton, though, I believe it's blurred out. Like, she sees it. It's just blurry.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah. Well, word gets back to Koopa that Mario and Luigi are in the area. And he sends out a bunch of Albatross and Bob-ombs to get
Albatross?
Them.
Albatross?
I think they're called Albatross.
Oh, for the game, because they toss.
They toss Bob-ombs.
That makes sense. I just thought they were saying it wrong in the show.
No. The show's accurate.
Okay, it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
Now, lots of great sound effects. Like, as the Mario characters are jumping, it's the OG jump effect. As enemies are coming down, it's like you're hearing, like, turtle shell sounds and stuff like that. So really, really well done. It makes this feel like a really authentic piece of, like, Mario content. It's like, it's really easy to get into and feel like it's all working together. It's really good.
Yeah, that was kind of the key element, was just like, it just feels like the games.
Yeah.
You know, it just, like, especially with that music, you just, like, they did such a good job to use it because it's such an asset. Like, that's the really big thing from those games. You know, you always remember that music, so use it and use the sound effects. Make it feel like you're in that game. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, like as a kid, you know, we had only a certain amount of time we'd be allowed to play video games for. You know, if you play for too long, time to turn it off, right?
Of course.
But this was a way to still feel like you were getting that Mario fix because it'll do that for you. It's got all those cues that are going to kind of like prime your brain and give you that Mario dopamine fix that you want because it's hitting on all those. You got the visuals, you got the sounds, you got all the stuff there for it to work like that. So, yeah, turn the video game off and then just go watch the show.
Yeah.
Now, Mario finds a fire flower, which is great because we obviously want to see a special item being used. And Peach finds the real baby Birdo frozen in a block of ice. So Mario melts it out. And Birdo has taken Toad for flying lessons. She has him up at 30,000 feet and drops him because it's his time to learn how to fly.
Right.
He's near death, but he remembers that he has a mushroom hat and he uses that as a parachute and lands right beside Mario, Luigi, and Peach.
This is very shocking to me. I thought that hat was like a hard hat.
Same. I also thought it was part of his head.
I also just thought it was his head. Yeah.
Yeah. He took his head off.
And he turned it. He took his head off. And it turned into a parachute. It's quite amazing.
It was amazing. Now, King Koopa shows up with an army. Mario gets hit with a bomb and loses his firepower. And Birdo and Toad in the air show up. And Toad starts throwing the white turnips from Super Mario 2 down at Koopa.
Yes.
That was a very, very nice touch. Like the ones you pull out of the ground. Yeah. He's tossing those down. Yeah. And this is all because they got Birdo's baby back to her. And she realized what happened. She realized she made a mistake, and she's helping Toad to help his friends. And with the sky raining turnips, that's enough for Koopa to run away.
Mm. Good job.
Then they all head back to Birdo's house for a meal. Mario thinks it's spaghetti, but it's worms.
I mean, pretty classic. It's a classic ending. I would have loved this if I was a kid. I would have thought that was so funny.
Yeah, it was actually one giant talking worm. So
it's just one huge worm.
Mario must have thought it was just a single piece of gigantic spaghetti.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sure. And then they show us a clip from the upcoming Legend of Zelda episode. So,
damn.
And that looked way better than the Mario show did.
That clip was my favorite part.
Totally.
Like, when that clip played, I was like, oh man, that show looks awesome. That looks way better than our show.
That was always my favorite part of the episode. So how this worked was on Fridays, you would get the Legend of Zelda episode. And I cannot tell you how many Fridays I stayed home sick from school.
Nice.
A lot. But
it's the best day to do it. Extra long weekend. Dude, start kick it off with Legend of Zelda.
I loved
Come
it.
On.
Tummy not feeling so good today.
Yeah.
So I have great memories of the Legend of Zelda, more so than the Mario show. Like for me, the Mario show was a vessel to get to the Legend of Zelda show. So
yeah.
I own that show, The Legend of Zelda, on DVD. I made sure to pick up that set. Watching the Mario stuff, I'd be happy to pick that set up as well. I think it's in two DVD sets, but I kind of forgot how fun the show actually was just with the combination of the opening sketch and then how like nostalgic the show was. I was actually really impressed going back to it and watching it again. I was just pleasantly surprised and I'd watch more for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, it's a show that's targeted at younger kids, and it does a good job of that. You know, it's I would watch more of it. Doesn't look as exciting as The Legend of Zelda, but I would want to see more episodes for sure.
Yeah, the pacing was really good. Like there's little time to be distracted because of how many different things are happening. You know, like the show intro, then you get the live action sketch, then you go to the cartoon, Then you go back to the live action. The bumpers in between commercials are like from the sketch. It's like Mario, Luigi, and the guest are kind of saying like,
yeah,
they're kind of like in the middle of their mess, and it's like, oh yeah, okay, sorry, we'll see you soon or something like that. And then they always hit you with the Legend of Zelda trailer right at the end. So like, there's yeah. no time to like be bored in this show.
Yeah,
it's really well made.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, what else? Did we forget anything?
Forget. I don't think we forgot anything. No, you went through.
Did we mention Nicole Eggert? Did we talk about her?
We did. Yeah, right. We did. Yeah, I did like the structure of the show. How it started with like a problem that happened, but the problem wasn't actually like a villain. It was like a misunderstanding type thing. So I like that started. It wasn't just like immediately a bad guy took the good guy and now we got to get him back. It was just more like a misunderstanding. Birdo thought it was her child. I just thought that was like a cool start for the show.
Yeah. I wanted to mention also the furnace that like hits Nicole Eggert with smoke and soot. Mm-hmm. It's like a gigantic sort of like foamish looking furnace. And you can tell there's somebody in there like bending it. It's like a right. character in the show. There's always stuff that goes on with the furnace. It's like a reoccurring gag. And I just thought that furnace was fun because it doesn't look anything like a furnace. It looks more like an old radio. You'd have no idea it's actually a furnace, except for the fact that they told you it was a furnace and it blew smoke out. Right. So there's no way to like notice it as a furnace, but it's a character in the show. So I liked seeing it again here. It kind of jogged my memory that that's actually a thing. And I wanted to mention that.
What's up with the garbage chute that just shoots garbage right into the middle of their place?
I can't really remember. But yeah, it's just, where's that garbage coming from? People are just dumping their garbage on street level and it's coming.
Where's it coming from? And why don't they have a bin underneath it or something? They just let it fall on the floor.
Yeah, I don't know. Another like weird running gag in the show. It's that garbage chute. It's great. They've got like all these little things that keep kind of coming back and they can they can utilize all these different small things to make the sketches kind of feel cohesive. Like I mentioned before, you're always going to see the guests show up in the mirror. Something's going to happen with the furnace. Something's going to come down the garbage chute. I wouldn't be surprised if one episode, the guest comes down the garbage chute, you know, just something that they like,
like
switch it up or something. But all those little elements, you know, they're always talking about food and pasta and, you know, they've got stains on themselves from it. So lots of like, fun gags that just kind of make their way, weave their way through all these sketches.
Yeah. And the getting Nicole so dirty with all this stuff was a good setup too, because she was like walking towards a chair that had a cake on it. And Luigi like moved the cake out of the way. Like, oh, that would have been a problem if you sat on that cake. Here, go by the furnace here.
Yeah.
That'll dry you off. And he moves the cake somewhere else. And then all of it happens. She gets the furnace on her. She steps in the cake that he moved. She sits on pizza. So it's like just trying to avoid this one little thing of her sitting in the cake, all this other stuff happens.
Yeah, that was funny because it was all rapid fire. Like after the water happened, they kind of took a break. But when they came back, it was just one thing after another. Oh, go warm yourself by the furnace. Oh, no, you're covered in smoke. Sorry, come over here. Oh, no, watch out for that. Oh, no, you stepped in the cake. Oh, just have a seat. Just relax. Oh, no, you sat in pizza. Oh, it's just like, it is so funny. So funny. So well done. But
sat in pizza.
Then they show a close up on her butt and it's just like
it's a good
covered
one.
Covered in sauce.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun. Cool. I'm enjoying these 80s cartoons. We'll also, Dean, be opening this up to 90s cartoons because I know that's your era.
Yeah.
And there's lots of good 90s stuff in there as well. So we'll be squeezing the 90s in as well.
Love it.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed. Do us a favor. Tell your friends about Talking Back. Send them an episode. You could like and leave us a review on your favorite podcasting app. You can check us out on Patreon. We've got exclusive content over there. If you sign up at the $5 level, as soon as you sign up, you will unlock every single piece of content we have over there. So
that's a lot.
There's a lot of fun stuff to check out over there. We've got, we're going through the James Bond franchise. We've got, I believe, 10 episodes over there, the first 10 movies.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, lots of other stuff as well. And if you like hearing the sound of our voices and you like watching video games, you can also check us out on YouTube at Demo Dash, where every week Dean and I download a free video game demo and we try to beat it in 20 minutes and we try to gauge the level of this demo. We're trying to find the good demos for you so you can download them and have a library of free games. So check that out. We're having a lot of fun. And now that this episode's over, don't worry. Head on over to bfopnetwork.com. Check out one of the other amazing nostalgia-based podcasts in our network. We promise you'll find something you like. Dean, thank you for joining.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Have you been wondering where's the beef? Well, on our podcast, Throwback Trivia Takedown, you might just find that out, as well as some other things about the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
We're a nostalgic-based trivia show that pits two challengers head-to-head in a duel of the decades, with categories ranging from movies, TV and music, to slang, food, and fashion. You're sure to get the best in retro-themed trivia.
So strap on your jelly shoes, grab a surge, and walk like an Egyptian to your favorite podcast app and check out Throwback Trivia Takedown.
I heard even Mikey likes it.